today is Good Shepherd Sunday. Who knew? Reverend Lawrence knew. Those of you probably with a Catholic, an Anglican, or Episcopal background, you probably knew. But this old Southern Baptist girl had no idea that today had a special name, but that's probably why the scripture reading for today is Psalm 23. Go figure, right? Just makes sense. Psalm 23 is probably one of those well-known passages, even if you can't do it from memory. It's probably as well-known as John 3:16. It's one of those passages that we use often at funeral and memorial services. But I call on you today to hear and to look at these words with new ears and with new eyes, ears and eyes that are rejoicing in these words. Now, I've spoken about sheep before, and I'll probably talk about sheep again, but sheep are very unique animals. They live between 6 and 14 years if they have care, and if they have really, really good care, they might live to even be 20 years old. Now, some of you might know this better than I. Probably if we called Susan Thornsley and asked her, she probably knows a lot more about this than I do, but if you're going to raise sheep, there's a whole lot you got to learn. You got to know what to feed them, what kind of stuff to feed them, depending upon where you're living. You need to know how much water they need, what kind of grass they should be nibbling on, how much shade should a sheep have, what kind of shelter should they be living in, how do you take care of those hooves and that wool, how do you shear them, if you're going to shear them, do you have to shear them? What kind of sheep are you going to raise? Do you know that there are over 200 different breeds of sheep? And you better get the kind that lives in your environment or you're going to have problems. So you got to know. And lo and behold, you must be a shepherd to your sheep. You've got to take care of them. Sort of like what's being spoken about in the Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is the one who's going to take care of each and every one of them. And Michael's was a perfect example of how God, our Lord, can take care of us. The Lord will watch over us. The Lord will keep an eye on our comings and our goings. The Lord knows when we get too close to the crevice, those dangerous places in our lives. And in times of distress, like a shepherd out in the field, the Lord will pick us up and carry us. The Lord will also rejoice with us each time we realize, yes, the Lord is there all the time. Sometimes I just need to open my eyes and look, and the Lord is there holding my hand. The Lord tells us and makes us lie down in green pastures. Why green pastures? Because those are good eats. Try thinking about the choicest meal you'd want. Sheep like that nice, bright green grass, full of all the sweetness that they can find in that grass. Now, granted, sheep have a tendency to wander off. They're looking to be satisfied, thinking that the green grass over there is probably better than the green grass that's right here. So they try to get over to that other field or across a ravine or through some crevices in life in order to get to that better grass. We do the same thing. We think something will be better over there. We look for what might be better. But many times moving locations doesn't make a difference. It's a change of heart that will make the difference in our lives. Sheep are also easily distracted by what's around them. Even the grass moving in the wind will kind of make them a little freaky and skittish. You know anyone like that? Know anyone who jumps after the shiny stuff? Squirrel. I wasn't naming names, Reverend Lawrence. I wasn't naming names. The Lord brings us to green pastures for the choice eats, like the Word of God. The choice things in our lives, like being able to come here and worship together. be a little funny to come in here all by yourself and try to have a worship service. And first you have to run up here and greet everybody. Then you run back to your seat and pretend you're the congregant. Then you have to come back up here and do the announcements. Then you run back to your seat and pretend like you're listening to the announcements. It'd be a little bizarre. But coming together as a people, as God's people in this community, as God's people of MCC of the Spirit, what a rejoicing way to lie down in green pastures. But the Lord also leads us beside still waters. Now, as I said, sheep are skittish animals. They don't like unusual noises. They're easily agitated, and they're not overly fond of surprises. When it comes to water, they want still water. For you see, in still water, they can see below the water to see if there's any kind of animal down there hiding. They don't have to worry about what's under the water when the water is calm. There isn't a danger as they dip down to drink the water. See, rough waters can hide many things. In our Florida canals, alligators quietly hide underneath the water. Oh, they might have a little ripple every once in a while, but that alligator's just sitting there, watching through the water, waiting for some poor animal to come and dip their head, and then the alligator springs and grabs that animal and pulls it under. The sheep are aware of these dangers, and that's why they will drink in still water. We have rough waters in our lives sometimes. And we too can get swept away in rough water if our feet aren't firmly in place with the Lord. So that's why the Lord leads us also to still waters, those times where we need to rest our soul, where we need to get away from the roughness of everyday life, work engagements that are just too overwhelming, supervisors that are ready to drive you crazy, supervisors that treat you unfairly, co-workers who won't give you the time of day. And God knows that we need those times of restoration in the stillness of waters. So the Lord brings you to these still waters to rest. The psalmist continues, and while I'm not going to do every phase of the passage, because we'll be here for a couple hours, I'm going to pick out just a few more. The psalmist wrote, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil." Think of that sheep who has gone across the ravine to find better grass. They have found their way down there, and now the shepherd is going to hear them, bah, 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 because they can't find their way back. They can't figure out how to get back up the same way they came down. They're lost. Yet the shepherd can find them. But at the same time they're lost, they really don't think they're lost. They don't know they're lost. They just know they're eating grass somewhere else. They're not afraid. Yet we have our dark valleys, dealing with illness, dealing with loneliness, those tough choices that we are confronted with in our lives each and every day. Do I go left or right? Do I take that job offer or do I stay where I am? Do I date? Who do I date? Who do I marry? Should I marry? And unlike the sheep, we have those fears. And we know that there are dangers in this world. We know the safe places are the places that we think should be safe. Although in our world today, with armed people who walk in the most unlikely places, schools and mosques and temples and churches, though we continue to say this is a safe place, most of us know where we can go and should go in times of danger. You know, the more I participate in our community conversations on racism, the reality of the conversations that parents of color must have with their sons of color on how to behave when they're arrested or pulled over by the police, become more and more real. They remind me of the conversations that many of us women have had to have with our parents, especially after we got our driver's license. Have your keys in your hand when you leave the building. Park your car under a light. Don't go anywhere alone. Never leave your drink unattended. We too have our fears and dangers and have to watch out for ourselves. I can only imagine the conversations going on in Denver this week. Another shooting. Another child dead. And only 7 miles away from the Columbine High School. I can only imagine the conversations going around this country. This is a dark valley in the history of the world, where we know that there are times where we might not even be safe in our own places of worship. It's gotten to the point where we need to list and keep a track of all the shootings. The news barely covers these stories anymore. As people of faith, we also need to be aware of the spiritual dangers and the dark valleys that are around us and before us. The enemy that wants to pull us away from God. The friend that tries to persuade you, oh, you can skip church this week. It will be there next week. The advertisements that we're bombarded with that tell us you can't live without. And so you put it on your already filled credit card. And the only way you can pay it off, you realize, is to cut back on your giving to God. These are spiritual dangers. Your desire to be in relationship leads you to go out with that individual that doesn't at all believe the way you believe. Their spiritual priorities, if they have them, are not at all yours. Or maybe you see that TV show or that sports game that is so important that you can't miss watching it, even though you could be at a church fundraiser or at a church event. Maybe participating in that fundraiser. Thankfully, the shepherd is present to see that the shepherd gets out of its dark valley, just as the Lord is present for each and every one of us when we are in our dark valleys. I enjoy the image of the shepherd, and it's something that I keep in my mind, of a shepherd with his crook. And when I know when I get in trouble, the shepherd will lean down, grab hold of me, and pull me to safety. That is an image that I hold dear and keeps me in my safe places. And one more phrase in closing. You anoint my head with oil. Anointing my head with oil. Every once in a while, I channel surf on the television. And I came upon this program that was talking about sheep, go figure. And it was a show about how to keep the sheep healthy. And I thought, this could be interesting. I've preached about sheep. I'm going to be preaching about sheep soon. So I spent a little time watching it. And the shepherd would take oil and pour it over the head of the sheep and kind of massage it into the ears and around the back of the head and all the way down to the nose. Because that's how the shepherd was able to keep the gnats and the bugs out of the ears and the eyes of the sheep. Unlike a horse that's got a very long tail and can swish that horse around and get rid of the flies, sheep don't have that. And their fur is just a wonderful place for bugs and gnats and fleas. So in pouring that oil upon that sheep, it's protecting the sheep from the things around them. We too have been anointed by the shepherd. When you give, and for those of us who have already given ourselves to Jesus, we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and we are anointed. We have that anointing that protects us. Now, granted, it might not keep the bugs away when it comes to mosquito or what are those things called, mayflies that we have around here. We'd all be walking around with covered in oil if that would get rid of those mayflies. Our anointing gives us power. Power to overcome the obstacles we have in our lives. Power to survive in our deepest valleys. Our anointing gives us the ability to hear the voice of our shepherd. As John reminds us in today's gospel, John tells us we know the voice of our shepherd. We know the voice of the Lord. And because we know the voice, we know with certainty that we have eternal life as promised to us. And while I believe that eternal life is the most important gift that was given to me and can be given to each and every one of us due to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I also fall upon John's words and believe them wholeheartedly that says that nothing and no one can take me away from God. Nothing can separate me from my shepherd. No one can steal me away because the shepherd has complete watch over me. And while many things can happen to this physical body, either by someone else's doing or my own foolishness, nothing will separate my spirit from God. Nothing can separate your spirit from God once you've been anointed with God. So I call upon us this morning to rejoice in the Good Shepherd and dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our lives. Amen.